You know, I had actually my before Mark asked me if I wanted to, you know, do this devotional this morning. I had my what I've been going through in Psalm 119 ready, and yesterday it just seemed fitting that because of what the Lord has us in the middle of, that maybe that it was just pressing on me to kind of go in a different route. And so kind of at the very last minute, that's what I'm doing. I'm not going over the Psalm 119 section this morning, but rather just kind of building on what Mark has already shared, having to do with prayers. And I know there's been a whole lot shared lately, a lot, way more than normal that we've all shared the experience of, and I know each one looks a little different, although most having to do with health situations. Mine, on the other hand, for whatever reason, not having to do with particularly the COVID. I guess all that Nutri-Rad I've been eating has been giving me that natural immunity to my body, so I haven't caught it. So that's something else I'll throw out there. If you haven't tried, go get you some Nutri-Rad and cook it, and that's another remedy. Now, all kidding aside, you know, our lot, just to update those, because I'm just like what I've read by so many of you, hearing the mercies of God, hearing the answered prayer, hearing the encouragement from so many doing so much is just tremendous. I mean, that's the way the church is supposed to work. And, you know, I've had folks, like I said, mine and Bridget's has looked a little bit different, although Bridget's still don't have any taste or smell. And that's been an ongoing challenge. But though I haven't suffered the COVID route, as y'all know, and I shared about Amber, just a very short, quick update there is just that, her communication now is very sporadic. The only thing that's coming out of her mouth right now, whenever I get to talk to her, is anger and blame for everything, and I mean everything. And so, you know, I've been going over there. She kind of went AOL, which is actually a good thing. I went over there, tried to go over there yesterday. I kept going over there to try to plant seeds of love and of trust and looking to the Lord and trying different routes that I know to try. This last time, yesterday, she actually wasn't at the apartment. And I suppose that's kind of maybe a good thing, because she was locking herself up in a room for days on end and not eating or talking to anybody or whatever. And so, in trying to think of taking a different route, maybe to call somebody and, have her committed somewhere or something, went over there yesterday and, not there. She drove off to somewhere and I don't know where, but, anyway, just kind of an update on where she is. We're still praying along that lines, but thank y'all so much. And part of, what I'm going to share this morning is kind of builds on what some of you encouraged me of, some simple truths. And these are all things that, either Mark's already talked about or we already know, but a lot of the things that the Lord seems to impress upon us, especially during, times of commonality, is things that we already know. It's just that our mind needs to be reminded of sometimes the same truths, maybe in a different way, maybe from a different experience. So I share these with you knowing that you kind of already know these things, but maybe it'll be like you. It'll be fresh to encourage you along these lines. And, you know, I know we've shared lots of prayer requests in terms of healing and needs of healing. And I was just reminded of so many examples in scripture, particularly in the New Testament, of healing, of Jesus healing folks. And I wanted to make mention of a few real quick this morning, and kind of not get into read the specific account from scripture, but kind of I want to draw an application from all of them as a whole. And in no particular order, in Luke 8, there's the account of the woman who is hemorrhaging and bleeding for 12 solid years, and nothing she tried gave her any relief. And so she heard of Jesus coming through the crowd. And so even though she was a woman and shouldn't have been able to be a front and center, and even though she was an unclean woman and surely shouldn't be touching anybody, she made a desperate move to fight through the crowds to get to Jesus just so that she might touch him. And this was her way of reaching out in a desperate way to make her way and make her need known to Jesus and put her faith in that Jesus could do something about her problem. And of course, we know the end result is that Jesus honored that desperation and turned and recognized that she was healed. And so she was. And each one of these accounts, might add that you could build such wonderful messages, wonderful application. You could take any one of these I'm sharing separately and draw so much truth from. It's just amazing. But I'm just going to, again, just kind of summarize them all together with a brief overview. But in John chapter 5, there was the story of the lame man who was laying by the pool. Remember in Jerusalem, the pool of Bethesda, it talks about where supposedly, you know, the account is that at a certain time of the year, an angel would come down and stir up the waters. And whoever was first to get into the waters after the angel stirred it up was healed of whatever kind of disease they were afflicted with. And there was this guy who was lame, it says, for 38 years and never could get there because as he was trying to get to the water, when it was stirred up, somebody would beat him to it because he was lame, you know. And so, of course, Christ comes by and asks him if he wants to be healed. And, of course, I do. But, you know, he tells Jesus, I can't get there in time. And so Jesus, you know, just jumps to the end of what he does, the conclusion. And he says, you know, I'm going to heal you. And he does that. And then there's an account of in Luke 5's account of a paralyzed man, of course, unable to do anything for himself. And you've got his friends that hear about this Jesus coming through town and preaching at this particular house and says, here's our chance. And he takes a friend and puts him on this gurney and brings him to this house. Of course, there's no room to get in to see Jesus. And so in desperation, they find the rooftop, a way to get onto the roof. And in desperation, they tear a section of the roof off and lower their friend down to Jesus because they figure he's their only shot of healing. And so they do it. And I have no idea. I wonder what the homeowner thought of that move, but in desperation, God honored that and took notice of their faith and healed the man. And finally, there's the story, the account, and whether you read it in Matthew's account in Matthew 8 or Luke's account, Luke 7, about the centurion soldier who had a servant whom he loved dearly, he regarded very highly, and that this servant of his was sick and dying. And he wanted somebody to, you know, to get Jesus into the picture. And Jesus agrees to go see this servant of this centurion. But along the way, the centurion meets Jesus and stops him and says, look, I understand this. I understand this thing about authority. I'm a man that understands authority because I can tell people to come and they come and do this and they do that. And he said, and besides that, Jesus, what I know is that I'm not worthy for you to even come in my house. But because I know about authority, all you have to do, Lord, is say the word and my servant will be healed. And of course, you hear Jesus' response to that, that he marvels at that kind of faith. And he says, your servant is healed as you spoke. Go your way. And so all of these are examples of miraculous healing. But all of them have some commonality that I wanted to bring out a couple points about this morning that maybe that would encourage us. All of these, I can tell you for myself, I've used every example in prayer one way or another in my petitioning to God. And I know most of you have too, you know, that I use these examples about God showing mercy to these people, God doing something by just a spoken word. God's ability. I remind God, this is all you have to do is speak the word. I remind them of a lot of aspects of each one of these, and they all have some things in common. Well, some of the things that points that you can glean from these examples is that these were some desperate situations here. I heard, you know, some of you have heard that expression. I think it was Spurgeon that said it, that God doesn't hear prayers. He hears desperate prayers. And that doesn't mean like desperate prayers relates to hours and hours on end of prayers. Mark gave a great example that, you know, he already knows our needs. It doesn't correlate to length. Although sometimes we pour ourselves out in prayer at length, yes, but it's not a formula that if I pray longer, that means I got a higher percentage of God answering my prayer. But the desperate prayer is just that Jesus paints that picture of the woman continually knocking on the door of that judge, and he gets wore out and he finally comes. So that persistence is definitely something that we can glean about our prayers and use in our request to God, being desperate. We see the 38 years that a man was lame, and that man didn't give up. And, you know, or the woman with the, you know, she was in desperate need. 12 years, she was bleeding. And sometimes we think that, because we pray for a certain length of time, that after it hasn't been answered, that means that God must not want to answer. Well, that's certainly not necessarily the case. I mean, surely this woman who knew to seek after Jesus was believing on Jesus before she got the idea, oh, how about this Jesus guy? Maybe he can heal me of bleeding. I'm sure there was prayers for a long time for her healing. Perhaps the same with this man who's been crippled for 38 years. He's been lame for 38 years. But, you know, sometimes, especially, I guess, growing up as Americans, we think that, you know, we ought to get things now. You know, as soon as we ask for them, and we don't want to wait. But sometimes God has his answer in prayer way beyond our timetable, way beyond. And of course, in the Old Testament, the ultimate example is that, you know, the Israelites were always God's people, But how long did he keep them in bondage in Egypt? 400 years, you know? I mean, how many of us can put up with trusting the Lord for his answer and his timing for, you know, 400 days, let alone 400 years, or 12 weeks, let alone 12 years, or 38, you know, whatever. God's timetable, we have to trust that in our prayers as well, is that knowing that, you know, we stick with what we know, that God hears and he does hear, but a timetable we don't know. And then finally, one thing you see, the example of the friends who brought the guy on the mat to, in a desperate move to get Jesus to see this crippled man to heal him, their friend, never underestimate, we don't need to ever underestimate the intercession of friends and family, the things that we do for others, the power of that intercessory, whether we're doing something physically, or whether we're doing what we've been doing and praying for one another, that intercession, we are called to be high priests for one another, and so we do. And these prayers of intercession, they go up not just as that sweet incense, sweet aroma to God, not just when we're praying about our own needs, our own burdens, our own hurts, but they go up as that sweet fragrance to God, and he smells them when we're praying for others as well. We're a high priest before God for these other people. So there's something you see in one of these examples as well that we can glean, is that the privilege and the role that we have for interceding with one another, we see that is that this man, short of intercession, he didn't have a chance, that paralyzed man, of getting healed. Short of his friends interceding on his behalf, didn't have a chance. So many of our prayer requests, that when God chooses to answer, it's because they've been interceded by others, and that God chose to take the group of intercession and act upon those prayers in honor of that intercession. And so a couple other points I wanted to bring out. All of them together, what do they have in common? What are a couple things that every one of these people that were healed by Jesus, what was it that they had in common? I could give a minute to, if anybody wanted to answer anything. Do you see? I like the way Mark does that. He leaves us hanging and makes everybody's, you know, come up with an answer until we all get uncomfortable and Mark has to answer for us. But can anybody see one thing that all of these people have in common that were healed?
They were desperate.
Yes. Yes, they were all desperate. They were all desperate, and none of them could do anything by themselves to fix their problem. The hemorrhage woman, she tried everything she could, spent all her money. She couldn't stop her bleeding herself. The lame man by the pool, he couldn't get in the water without somebody helping him. And the paralyzed man, he was desperate because he surely couldn't do anything for himself. And the centurion soldier knew that he couldn't command his servant to be healed like he commanded his other ones to come and go and do. So you're right. They were all very desperate individuals. And to the point of there was nothing that they could do themselves. If God didn't act, they were hopeless. And that's the way that God wants us. He wants us to be in that position to where he gets all the glory for it. If we think that we can do 1 ounce of anything, for instance, as it relates to our salvation, if we think that we're saved by God doing 99% of the work and us doing 1%, you doing 1%, you'll never be saved. You are not saved. If you think you add 1 ounce, 1% of your 0.1% to your salvation, you're lost. You don't understand the grace of God, that it's all of God, that we're like these people. We're unable to make ourselves rise and walk. And so, yes, they were all desperate. And point number one, they all realized that if God didn't act, then it wasn't happening. You know, God has to get his due glory. You know, even from the nation of Israel, they grumbled and complained during the journey, during the deliverance. And really, I suppose it wasn't until he had their backs against the wall that when, you know, Moses had no other tricks up his sleeve, so to speak, when they were backed up to the Red Sea, you know, God preordained that to be so that there was no other avenue and that God himself was the only one that could give the answer to the solution. You know, we have to sometimes have that Red Sea behind us for God to do the work, for God to get all of the glory and us get none of it. And that's how God wants every one of us, humble to the point of saying, Lord, if you don't act, there's no chance for me. Our complete humility, our complete dependence on him, that's when Christ does his work. And the reason that is because that's when we become like Christ. You think about Christ's words. He says, I can do nothing on my own. I only do what I see my Father do and telling me to do. He was totally dependent on his Father. He was totally humble, totally wanting nothing more than to do the Father's will. And I had, you know, a couple people had to remind me that of truths. Again, it's truths that we already know. But a couple people graciously reminded me of that principle, even as they were encouraging me in trusting the Lord for Amber's situation. You know, reminding me, one, that, look, I can't, you know, I was telling them about how Bridget and I just keeps wrestling back and forth of wondering what our next move should be. You know, wondering, should we bring food every day? Should we not? Should we bring money every day? Should we not? Should we commit or should we not? And, you know, first I got reminded, look, even if you were comfortable and you had 100% of the assurance of your plan was what you should be doing, you can't fix her anyway. If God's got to be the one to do the work, it can't be you. No matter if your plan is perfect, it's not going to work unless God is behind it. If the Spirit of God doesn't move, which one of us are saved? You know? Each one of us start the same way, dead in our trespasses and sins. And every dead person has to have somebody make them alive. And so Amber, it was the same way. I was reminded of that. Look, it doesn't matter what you do. Don't beat yourself up because you don't know exactly the perfect thing to do. God's either going to deliver her based on what you do or not, but in the end, it's not going to be you. So I appreciate that reminder that it has to be God that acts. And secondly, that I was also reminded on a positive note, too, that if you just do and honor God and do these things to humble yourself and to be broken before God in your requests, God is going to answer your prayers. And likewise, in all these requests that we make for one another, and, you know, even in the case of Aaron's grandmother, or may it be Amber, I don't know, but surely we pray that, Lord, bring deliverance. Surely that's on the tip of our tongue in every example that, Lord, we want their physical healing, and we argue so much for, Lord, this, look at all the glory that you can get to extend their time more on earth. And yes, that's a valid argument. But that's not the only argument. That's not the only one we need to use. But we do need to know this. We do need to know that our prayers are heard 100%. It's because of who we are in Christ that we have assurance that our prayers are heard. We've already been given the greatest thing that can be given to us. He who did not spare his only begotten son, how shall he not freely give us all things? So when we pray, we are confident. If it's not answered the way we want, when we want, it does not mean that it's not heard and it's not answered. It is. Mark already shared in his devotional. You know, we see great things come from it, but perhaps in a different way. Fruit will be produced by every one of our prayers. Every time that we're praying during this ordeal for each member of our fellowship, for each family member, for each one, when we pour out our heart to the only one who can do something, it's producing fruit. You cannot take a field, a fertile field, and plow up the entire field and scatter seed across the entire field and water the entire field and not have some growth and not have it produce a crop. It don't work like it's going to happen. It's going to produce a crop. Now you may not know when you're going to see it produce, when it's going to sprout, but it's going to sprout some. You do it. You law of averages is going to take over. You know, you do this. And for God, every one of his prayers are heard. Every time we sow seeds of prayer, they're heard and they produce fruit. Maybe not when we want, how we want, but how many times have we encouraged one another by, you know what, God used this incident in my life even today, that seemed like a bad thing, like Claire shared, that this is not how exactly I painted the picture of how I wanted God to answer for Benjamin. I didn't want him to have to lose a job. But if God has a greater purpose, we see that Claire's prayers and our prayers for her brother was answered. Not brother, son, was answered in a greater way. And so we know not to put stipulations on how God should answer. Amen. We are right to view, you know, to express how we view it and to express our desires before God. But by knowing God, we have the privilege of saying that his ways are far more greater than our ways, as scripture tells us. His knowledge, his vast knowledge is, and we can, because we know, we can rest in the fact that he hears us and he shall answer in a way that produces fruit. Our job is just to empty ourselves of everything but Christ as our hope. And when we do, then we have the best chance of there being something done, not in the flesh, but by God and not by our own strength. And so one other thing that that I wanted to share that these examples have in common. Every one of these individuals that were healed by Jesus, you know what else every one of them have in common? I doubt any of you would, if I gave you time, would come up with this one, but it's kind of morbid, I guess, but it's an important one. Other thing that they all had in common, that all of these that were miraculously healed by Jesus, relatively speaking, a short time after each one of those who were miraculously healed, they died of something else. Relatively speaking, it could have been, they might have lived, some may have lived 10 years after Jesus healed them. Some may have lived 30, 40 years after Jesus healed them. But relatively speaking, as we speak about it now, 2,000 years later, what difference does it make to those people right now, whether they lived an extra 10 years or 20 years or 40 years? Does that make any difference in the big scheme of things, whether he healed them? Every one of them died a short time later. And that's very, very important as we pray. And we've been reminded, Mark's taught us this as well. But the only thing that matters right now to everyone of those people that got healed was what they did after they were healed. Who did they give honor to after they were healed? How did they live their life after they were healed? Did they serve God to the end? To when God did take them permanently? That's the only thing that matters now. Did that 10 years matter? No. That extra 10 or 20 years? Not a bit. It's only if they found themselves at the end of their life trusting in Jesus Christ as their only means of their salvation, as their only hope for life, the life to come. So as we pray and we beg God to do this healing work, and we do, there's nothing wrong. We live on this side of the grave right now. And yes, we are made to pray for healing and see God work in the healing of our physical bodies. But just a reminder of what we already know, that we pray to see those that we pray for, whether it be Amber Benjamin or our loved ones who are sick or Aaron's grandmother, is that we pray that God would use this affliction, this time, whether he gives us another minute or another 30 years, is that it would draw us closer in trust and humility, in brokenness, to the one that not only heals us physically, but the one who offers us permanent healing, who offers us not life restoration now, not our best life now, but eternal life, but eternal joy, but eternal peace, to where we become the same as the Apostle Paul reminds us, whether we're in abundance or we're in need, whether in health or in pain, our trust remains the same. We remain constant for those around us. And so that's just a reminder of these examples, and some commonality of these examples is that may we ask the Lord that remind us that each one of these things that the Lord chooses to use in our life, in these sicknesses, let us not waste them, and let us not think that the ultimate goal is to get us back on our feet. Yes, that is a goal. And yes, we, as Christians, we want it to be that we turn around and, like Mark mentioned about the example of prayers, that when that woman was healed, she turned around and wanted to serve. And that's what we should do. That's healing that had a good result. They were able to turn around, and because Jesus healed them, and that's one of our arguments. Lord, I want to serve you longer. I want to be able to be a voice for you to my family longer. I want to witness your glory to others longer. That's our prayer. It's never for a selfish reason that we make these requests, but it's always for the glory of God, to bring others into the kingdom, to bring others into the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. And so these are just some other reminders I know that we already know, but may the Lord allow us to remember that as we pray for one another during these times. And again, I thank y'all for entering, and Bridget and myself, our you know, our struggle to trust the Lord and that he is doing a great work, not just in Amber, but in me and Bridget, is that he's had us realizing, you know, one, that we're not the one that can heal her. He has us realizing that, she doesn't belong to us. And he's had us realizing how quickly that a prayer can turn to a revelation of what we're not doing, what we fall short in doing. And we realize that God doesn't waste anything. He is taking these needs and intending to use it to teach us, to, along while we're praying for him to teach Amber. He's praying to teach those who are waiting on healing, as well as those who are praying for that healing, that we must stay before the Lord and not give him a timetable and not think that he must answer a certain way, or not think that he doesn't hear us. He does. And he is. And he shall get glory from it, and we shall be the better for it as we trust the Lord from first to last, no matter how he answers those prayers. And I really appreciate Samantha's words as she shared about Aaron's grandmother, is that, you know, her confidence was in her faith in the Lord. It wasn't, she didn't spend her time just saying, you know, Lord, I wish that she was healed, and there was not, there was joy mixed in the sorrow naturally for wanting her healed, but there was the joy in her face. So I appreciate that. I don't want Samantha shared, but anyway, that's my 2 cents this morning on the encouragement, using these examples in scripture. Anybody else got anything to share?
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, anybody have anything to share on maybe Todd's message or something else that maybe it might have triggered in your thinking that you think would help us, to encourage us? We're a needy body, and we're definitely needy now, and God can use your words to bring healing. So if you have something, we'd love to hear from you. All right, we're pretty much going to shut her down, let some folks get some rest, and keep looking at GBF chat for updates. It's always good to, if you don't send updates, I'm going to start poking for them, because I want to know how people are doing. I just don't want to go 5 days and not even know if people are got a pulse. So we need to kind of keep, you know, on top of things if we can, especially if you have some needs. You got to let us know about those things. And I take it that you got a GBA, you got a chat down there for Rich on how Ron is, but I don't know if you can kind of, I don't know if Rich is back up there or not to address that. But I know he went over there this morning, Elaine, and they gave him a nebulizing treatment. And I think Jack's the one who probably needs to fill us in on Ron more than anybody, since he lives there with him. So, Tim and Claudia, they need prayer. The three people that, in my opinion, are the most vulnerable are Claudia with her health conditions. And then you got Ron, and then you have Josh. Now, I'm not minimizing anybody else. I mean, I'm not feeling good. Lauren's not feeling good. Becky's not feeling good. There's a bunch of other people I know. But this is dire for them. They might be going to the hospital. Not Josh, but I'm just thinking Claudia. But they could be doing better. But they seem to, I guess, be stable at this moment. When I talked to Claudia, she just didn't sound very winded. I mean, she had a lot of, you know, shortness of breath. So we want to keep them in prayer. Yeah, and she says she's really sick, and to please, you know, give her prayer, right? So,
Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, can we have another brief time of prayer?
Yes. Let's go ahead and pray. If anybody wants to pray, feel free. And then when we're done, I'm going to ask Todd to close us. Todd's our healthy one, so we'll ask him to do that. So let's pray. And then we'll close after we pray. But I'm going to leave the Zoom open in case people want to chit chat among themselves. And then when there's nobody left, I'll just close it out. So feel free to pray, and I'll have Todd close.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your dear Son. And we're so very thankful that you've given us eyes to see our trials in the right perspective, in the eternal perspective. Lord, that this is all for our good because you love us. And we're able to endure these things with a psalm or a hymn or a verse on our tongues, in our minds, in our hearts, and to press on knowing these things, convinced of them, not guessing, not supposing, but knowing that you are God and that you are in control and that you are orchestrating these things according to your will. And it is good and perfect. And it's not random molecules out there in the universe. And it's all being ordered for a certain purpose, Lord. And that purpose is coming to pass before our very eyes. So in the midst of all what seems to be chaos, you know, all around us, as we're sick and as we see others getting sick, we could take comfort in that, Lord, that one day, 1 minute in your presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in your court, Lord. And so we thank you for this time that we've had in your court this morning, Lord, to consider these things in the light of who you are, in the truth of your word, and the fact that you hear our prayers, Lord, that they don't fall on the floor unheard and unanswered, but you hear them, Lord, they're incense before you. So we thank you for that, Lord, that we can know these things and that we can be convinced of them and that we can worship you, Lord, now. And that we will ultimately worship you with unveiled face, Lord, in your presence. And we won't see through a mirror dimly, but we'll see you in all of your glory. So we're thankful for those of us that may be passing on to glory in the near future, some that have, that can see you now that way and worship you in all your brightness and all your glory and all of your beauty. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, we thank you for this morning, Father. We come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. And I just want to come again, Lord, and lift up my church family, Father, who's suffering. Lord, we know that you have them all where you want them to be, Father, all of us, Lord. I just ask that you would continue to sustain and that you would continue to heal, Lord, as you've done already, and continue to cause all of us to glorify you for those, that act of healing, Father, that your presence and the little ways that you're answering prayers, Lord. Lord, please help us to know how to serve one another and keep us in tune to each other's needs. Father, help us to, Lord, reach out to one another with our needs, Lord. We just look to you, Lord. We know that you know our frame and our frailty, Father. And you hold us together, Lord. You hold all things together. I just ask for your continued grace as you've given it already. Please continue to give it in Jesus' name.
Father, again, we do thank you this morning for this time, for this privilege, for the awareness that you have made us to see that our only hope is found in you, that we are like these examples, desperate and can only be helped by you, Father. That desperate state is a good state if we're desperate and if we are understanding that our only means for any help is through trusting in Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord and Savior. Father, I too thank you for these dear ones, Lord. I too thank you for the work that you have ordained before the foundation of the world, that even now you have brought this event to pass so that there's a common struggle amongst us, Lord, that draws us together, that we might be able to share stories of great deliverances, Lord, and share stories of how you answered our prayer and was pleased to lift those up, was pleased to make your word go forth in various ways, Lord. We think of the Apostle Paul. He had to be thrown in prison so that he could bring the gospel account to Rome. Lord, you use various circumstances so that the message, the gospel message, might be brought forth, Father. And Lord, use whatever means necessary to save those of who we pray for their salvation, Father. Use whatever means. Use sicknesses. Use whatever. But may you bring salvation to our households, Lord, every one of us. Thank you for the testimonies given, Father. Thank you for reminding us that you hear our prayers, Father. And we do. We continue to cry out in desperation, Lord, that you would act and work even in the physical realm, Father. Our brother Ron, how he served us, Father, while here. May you be pleased, Lord, to lift him up, to strengthen his body so that he can in turn serve you more, be a testimony and a witness and a help to us more. And your servant Josh, Lord, ministering the word, ministering to his wife, ministering to the body. Would you be pleased, Father, to raise him up, to cause the pneumonia, cause the effects of COVID to die off quickly, Lord. Again, none of us will surely brag that look what I've conquered, Lord, but he in us will surely say, behold, what a great and compassionate God we serve. We would say this to all of the healings, Lord, for Tim and Claudia. Behold your servants, the perseverance and through the years and remaining with our church and the ups and downs that they've had and that we've had. Behold, Lord, your servants are still with us, still persevering in spite of her frailty, Lord, and her condition. She still comes to your presence. She still casts her lot with you, Lord. Honor that, Father, we pray, and deliver her once more. As you have so many times, bring healing, Father, to her and to Tim, that they too might be a voice giving glory to you for your great and mighty work, for your great mercies, compassions. And Lord, for Mark and for everyone else, Lord, we're in the same boat. We all are desperate needs. We all need healings. But we look to the one who gives living water, who gives physical healing and eternal healing and spiritual healing, Lord. Encourage us. And Father, one more thing. We need great, great amounts of wisdom during this day, Lord. We see that it's apparent that things are heading downhill in our society, or what, at least that's what's apparent around us now. May you grant us wisdom to know how to navigate jobs and careers and choices and what to stand firm in and what to say okay in. And Lord, grant us wisdom to know each step of the way our direction. We look to you for that direction and ask that it would only be based upon the word of God that you have left us with. Thank you for that sweet word, for our Father, that never fails. It gives us clear direction for our paths, Lord. Strengthen each one of us and grant wisdom of how we can better serve one another, Father. We all pray. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.